action movie survivor. When I'm not busy trying to avoid massive superhero battles with people getting thrown through walls or dodging giant robots about to step on me, I'm listening to the Part-Time Fanboy podcast. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Do it now, because the Robopocalypse is coming!
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Fanboy.com.
Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I appreciate it. Or afternoon.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's just get started off by saying that this is the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. My name is Christian Horn, and I have a very special guest. We've had you on before. Your name is Cullen Bunn. You are a writer of many things. We had you on to discuss A Legacy of Violence, which is a series you were also doing with Mad Cave Studios. That wrapped up recently, right?
It did. It did. I think within the last month or two, the final issue came out.
Yeah. And so now we're on to something which I'm very excited about. You are doing the launch for the same company, Mad Cave Studios, of Gatchaman in the U.S., correct?
I am, yeah. It's so Mad Cave has big Gatchaman plans, and I'm right among those plans is that I'm writing the ongoing Gatchaman series.
Yeah, and so that was one of the questions I had for you. I mean, first of all, Gatchaman, for anyone who does not know out there, right, is the original version of what other people may know in the U.S. as kind of like Battle of the Planets, correct?
Correct. Yeah, when I was a kid, I rushed home from school every day to watch Battle of the Planets, which was sort of the Americanized version. They took episodes from the original TV show, and they kind of edited them and changed them a little bit and redubbed them and released them in the States.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I wanted to ask you about was, is this the first time in the U.S. that the comics have been released as Gatchaman and not as Battle of the Planets? Do you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think there are a couple of, there's definitely been a couple of Battle of the Planets comics that have come out, but this is the first officially licensed Gatchaman series, I believe.
Yeah. Well, and that's the interesting thing is because I mean, I'm a huge Gatchaman fan. I mean, like you, I only knew it as Battle of the Planets when I was a kid, but for a year, my mother moved us to South America when I was young. And, you know, this was like when the VHS world kids, or at least I am, when the VHS boom was kind of like kicking off, Betamax, all that stuff. And in Colombia, somebody brought home, you know, one of those, I don't know what it would have been called in Spanish back then. But right. I remember seeing like, wait, machine guns? Like, wait, they're shooting it? Like, and being like, what is this? And being like, this is really cool. And not having been exposed to that version. So, and then also in preparation for this interview, I went and found like my Top Cow. They re-released them. They did them as Battle of the Planets like 20 years ago. Like, I don't know if that's the last time that this property has like been released as a comic, but it seems like 20 years is way too long. But like, it was Battle of the Planets. It was not Gatchaman. But I think that a lot of fans, because anime and manga have made such a huge explosion in the past like 20 plus years in the US, we do know it as Gatchaman, right?
Yeah.
And so you were one of the kids who like ran home and like was recognized that this was like a very cool thing and very different than like whatever Hanna-Barbera was giving us, or, you know, Looney Tunes and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, for sure. It was my favorite. It was my favorite cartoon, you know, at the time it was airing. I can't think of another cartoon I liked more.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as far as like Battle of the Planets is concerned, at what point in sort of like, you know, your geek development, nerd development, did you discover that this was actually something different? Because I don't think I did up until like my 20s, where I was like, wait, I mean, I'd seen episodes of Uncut Gatchaman when I was younger and just never kind of like reconnected with that and had that in my memory. But for you, at what point were you like, okay, wait, Battle of the Planets is not the original thing?
You know, I was trying to figure out when that was for me not long ago. And it feels like I was hearing rumors about that pretty early on. You know, some older kid, you know, was telling me that, you know, Battle of the Planets was a Japanese show, and that it was a very different show. And then obviously, you know, as years go by and I got older, then I started hearing, you know, more and more details, the official word on it. And even then there was all these sort of, they were almost like urban legends about what Battle of the Planets was,
yeah,
in Japan, you know, and what happened in the show and things like that. So I feel like I had heard that rumor as a younger person, but it could have been much later than I think.
Sure, sure. And do you remember, I mean, would your reaction very much have been kind of like what my reaction was when I saw them, which is like when you finally came across Gatchaman, like unedited, were you like, what the hell is that? Like, were you just like kind of blown away?
Yeah, I mean, hearing that it existed and was a little, you know, was a little more serious, I guess, a little darker maybe than what we were getting in America, you know, it was something I really wanted, you know, I was super excited to finally see it, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the show is quite, it's, you know, and this is decades had gone by since I'd seen, you know, Battle of the Planets, but the show's, you know, was a lot different than what I remembered. There were a lot of great, you know, there's a lot of elements that are just what I remember, right?
Yeah.
The things I loved, as a kid. Yes, some of the characters, all the characters are named differently and things like that, but it was still, you know, it still had all the elements I loved, but then it also kind of had, like you pointed out there, the violence level was elevated a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some of the missions were a little different. And, you know, when I was a kid, the show Battle of the Planets had like this little robot in it.
Yeah.
That was like the host, and he does not exist in the
Seven Zark Seven.
Seven Zark Seven. He doesn't exist in Gatchaman.
Yeah.
So there were, you know, there were definitely some differences, and the pacing of the show was different. You know, I could remember the pacing being very different, but there's a lot of nostalgia and a lot of fun going back and revisiting the series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's kind of like one of the things that I was curious about with this series, you know, from Mad Cave, is at what point, because part of the press release that I got was very much like, this is going to be like in continuity. And there have been so many, I mean, this series has been like re-edited, rehashed, redone. There have been kind of like sequels and like movies of things clipped together. At what point does your sort of, you know, continuity pick up off from? Like, are you referencing everything? Is it only the original Gatchaman release? Is it any of the sort of sequels? Like, I think they may have done stuff in the 90s. Like, where does your sort of thing like pick up from?
So this series takes place within the framework of the first 150 something episodes.
Got it.
So it takes place in that timeline. So it's the first series. Nothing, you know, the stories I'm writing can't take place after that, the 150, first 150 episodes. So they take place in the framework of the first 150. Now going forward, who knows what that's going to be, but right now, you know, the plan for the first, you know, couple of years worth of comics, they take place within that framework.
Oh, that's interesting. And so, I mean, I'm a huge fan. I mean, I bought the DVDs. I bought the Blu-ray set when it came out. I had the action figures. They got lost in a move somewhere, which I still have the little vehicles, but I lost the action figures. I don't know what happened to my action figures. So, I mean, I've been a fan, but I will admit to never seeing the whole series, like never sitting down and watching everything, because just by the time that stuff kind of got released in the U.S., I was busy with other things, you know, sure. And then the Blu-rays came out and it was like, oh, I've got a kid, like a little kid in the house. And I actually did go back and watch a couple episodes, you know, in preparation for this. But did you actually, because it is within that framework, did you actually have to sit down and watch all those episodes?
I did.
Wow.
I've watched it. I watched the entire you know, the entirety of the first 150, and there are more. I mean, the series picked back up after that, but I watched all the episodes, you know, around where our stories are taking place.
Yeah. And had you done that before, or was it just for this assignment?
No, this is the, you know, I've picked up bits and pieces of Gatchaman over the years, right? I've watched, you know, a clip or two here, an episode there. But this was I did it for this series. I watched all of it.
Oh, wow. Wow. And so, and we're still talking about, like, there won't be any of the Battle of the Planets, like, you know, additions or modifications that were made for USR. This is going to be like pure cut, like not cut Gatchaman. This is going to be like pure Gatchaman, right?
It is. Yeah.
Wow. And so, will this also be like a period piece? Because the original series kind of like takes place in 72, 73, right? Like that's when it debuted. It didn't hit American shores until like 78 or something like that after the big Star Wars boom, right?
Right. So it came out in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And then, but it was, the stories were set in sort of an undetermined future state.
That's right.
You know, near future state.
Yeah.
So we are setting, our story is set in that same, you know, undetermined future, you know, future timeline, but there are absolutely some stylistic things that fit into the Gatchaman, you know, the look of the Gatchaman cartoon, you know, some of the clothing and things like that.
Yeah, the bell bottoms.
The bell bottoms, that stuff is still part of this.
Oh, that's great.
Because you know, who knows? Maybe in that near future, all fashion circles back around again.
Yeah.
So that near future just has that 70s vibe. But I also think that's just kind of cool, and it gives it sort of a cool factor that I really like.
It is. Well, I love the striped pants and stuff.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's like, and the giant big belt buckles and all that. It's just fantastic. One of the things that sort of like when I was kind of like rewatching the show, going back and look at those episodes on DVD, I felt like I got like a big Star Wars vibe off of it, right? And then I went back and I did some research and I was like, well, yeah, this is all in reaction to Star Wars, like using the frame of Battle of the Planets as like my discovery of it. And then when I went back and looked, I was like, wait, 72, 73? Holy cow, like did this series like, did the visual look of this series in any way like influence George Lucas or the people that designed? Because, you know, when you go into the star bases and stuff, I'm like, that looks like the Death Star. Like there's a lot of interesting, it looks like the ship doesn't look like the Millennium Falcon, but the interior of the ship and stuff like that reminded me a lot of Star Wars. Do you have any thoughts on that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, I think it's the kind of show that it's probably influenced a lot of people in, you know, maybe in subtle ways, or, you know, they don't even, maybe, you know, the those who've been influenced by it may not necessarily sit down and say, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to consciously create a Gatchaman reference here.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if they love the show and were, you know, watching it at the time and, or whenever, I could see it seeding, you know, bits and pieces into, you know, into other material.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Lucas used the Hidden Fortress, you know, as basically his framework for the first one. So I
Correct.
Can imagine other Japanese influences sinking through if he visited Japan or was a fan of the culture and stuff. I don't know that much about, you know, the building up of Star Wars or what George Lucas was into and what he wasn't into. But
right.
I was actually watching those episodes, and I in particularly some of the early ones where they're sneaking into bases, and I'm like, wow, that looks a lot like the interior of the Death Star. So, and the hangar that they land in, there's one episode where the wing of the their vehicle gets like caught and they're trying to escape. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, that reminds me a lot of like, you know, the early Death Star designs. So yeah, I guess, you know, everything that comes around goes around.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no telling where those influences have landed.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were some of the things, I mean, you said you hadn't gone back and revisited like all of the show. What sort of like things did you pick up on this, like revisiting as an adult of the show, that you hadn't necessarily known of or noticed before?
Well, you know, there's a lot of environmental content in the show that I don't think I picked up as a kid it wasn't a top of mind as a kid. It took a backseat to the mechas and the, you know, the vehicles and the martial arts, but there was a lot of sort of this commitment to conservation and the environment that was there, you know, in 72. And then from a character perspective, and this was probably because it might've been edited out or changed quite a bit in Battle of the Planets. There was a lot of, I didn't realize there was so much the team. The Gatchaman team is under so many things they can't do. Dr. Nambu was always telling them, you know, the things they can and can't do.
Yeah.
And it's these kids, you know, these young men and women who are trying to do the right thing, and they're just under so many constraints that are established, you know, that are placed upon them.
Yeah.
By, you know, people in authority, you know, in roles of authority.
Yeah.
And that was something that I never picked up on when I was a kid.
Sure. Well, the one thing that seemed amusing to me was that they couldn't fire the missiles or something. And it's like, we can't fire the missiles unless we get, and it's like, Joe would be like, I'm going to fire the missile anyway. And that was like the constant fight in early episodes.
Well, it was an ongoing struggle that the bird missiles, so, you know, the missiles are too powerful to just use, you know, willy-nilly, and
exactly.
Always wanted to fire, you know, always wanted to start firing those missiles as soon as he could.
Yeah, well, that was the interesting thing. It's like, you couldn't fire the missiles, but we could light the bird up, like, you know, as the last ditch effort when we needed to. Like, I remember that about Battle of the Planets, that it was a very sort of thing. It's like, oh, it became like kind of a joke amongst my friends. It's like, they always talk about how they can't light up the Phoenix, and then they light it up every episode. You know
every
what I mean?
Every episode, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was not, you know, that's also something I remember in my mind, they did ignite the Phoenix every episode. And that's not the case in the original series either. It happened much more rarely.
Yeah. Yeah. What were sort of some of the things that, I mean, because you're coming at this like with a brand new eye, right? But it's I guess it's got to be within some sort of continuity. I don't know. How is this property developed in Japan? Is it something that's still like loved? And because I haven't come across like any manga adaptations or anything like that that have come from Japan. But obviously, you know, I'm not able to track down everything, but I would imagine that something with Gatchaman would filter through to us. Do you know, like, is it in Japan something that is as beloved among them as it is to, like, you know, people like us who grew up with it?
Yeah, I think it's still a much loved property, and I think they're definitely you know, there's been live action movies and things like that. There's been, you know, new anime has come out. I think these characters appear in some video games
I think so too. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're still, you know, beloved characters. I think they're probably in Japan, they're probably a little more, I think people are a little more aware of them than then I would say, you know, fandom is here.
Sure, sure, sure. So my assumption is that Mad Cave got the license and kind of came to you because you've worked with them on A Legacy of Violence, and we're like, and obviously you're one of the big writers in comics that has written tons of stuff. When they first came to you, like, and they had the license, what? How did you, were you like, absolutely, yes? Was there any reticent? Were you nervous, or like, were you just like, yeah, I'm just going to take this and go with it?
Yeah, no, they contacted me and they asked if I was familiar with Gotchaman. That was the, that was the email. It was basically, it wasn't even, we're doing a book. It was just, hey, Cullen, have you ever heard of Gotchaman?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I responded, I was like, yeah. And let me tell you how many times I pretended to be G-Force when I was, you know, me and my friends wanted to be G-Force when we were kids.
Sure.
And yeah, so that was the first thing. And so I was pretty much, as soon as I read that, that email, I was like, well, they're going to do a Gotchaman series and I want to be involved. I didn't know that it was going to be such a big sort of campaign and a big push for Gotchaman, because yeah. Mad Cave is doing, they're doing the ongoing series.
Yeah.
But then they're also doing a number of one shots and a number of limited series that take place, you know, that take place in, during the same time frame, same world.
Yeah.
So they're really, you know, we're really approaching it in a big way.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are your thoughts on sort of expanding that world? Like, what did you see? Obviously you can't spoil anything because the launch is about a month away, right? It's like late June, right? Correct?
Yes. Yes. I think it's June 27th or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, late June.
Yeah. And so, but like when you're looking at this world, what sort of balance? I mean, you're working with the owners of the original property in Japan. I guess going back a little bit, like what sort of materials did they give you? Like what did you, was it just the episodes? Did you get designs? Did they have any kind of like background material that they gave you that you could work with? Like, was there any like creator's notes? Like, was there anything like that that you were, that was handed over to you?
There were little bits and pieces. I mean, the main thing that we were given was the, you know, were the episodes to watch.
Sure.
And, you know, and then what, you know, what we did, you know, what I did is after I watched, you know, watched quite a bit of it, I yeah. put together a pitch for what I would do in the series.
Oh, okay.
So it was a couple of, you know, a couple of pages of, this is what I want to do. This is what's going to happen in arc one, arc two, arc three, arc four. And I put in, you know, I wanted to make sure that what we were doing was additive to the original content. It wasn't just an adaptation, but we're adding new elements that are adding to the world and adding to the continuity of Gotchaman.
Gotcha, gotcha. And I mean, how does that work for you? I mean, because obviously we're sort of dealing with the property, right? Like you look at it as an adult and it's like five people dressed as birds and, you know, they transform. And it might be sillier to an adult. Like I remember as you know, a fan of comics and all this stuff, we always fantasize about live action things. And I remember friends, we used to joke around and like, oh, you know, Battle of the Planets, Gotchaman, how would you do that? And it would be like Tom Cruise is, you know, like big stars and stuff like that.
Right.
But you're not going to get Tom Cruise to get dressed up in a bird outfit. Like, it's just not going to. Well, maybe he might be into it. I don't know. But what are some of your thoughts on like approaching it as seriously as you can? Obviously, the series did, but in a modern lens.
Well, you know, to some degree, I wanted to embrace that quirkiness and, uh-huh. and, you know, and sort of the weirdness of the world of Gotchaman.
Yeah.
I wanted that to be part of it because I my series in particular, I really want to feel like the animated series.
Okay.
So I embrace that, you know, the weirdness of it all and sort of the quirkiness, but at the same time, there are definitely elements that I just kind of gloss over, right? I don't put into my stories, right?
Sure.
You know, little things, you know, we were talking about the bird missiles.
Yeah.
And it was always funny to me on the show because it was the 70s. when they fire the bird missiles, you know, this super powerful missile, it's just one button that they press over and over. And over again. And then in the original series, you'll get like several scenes of them just pressing the button, of Joe, the condor, just pressing the button, firing bird missiles. So there are things like that that I just don't show in the comic.
Okay.
So you're not going to have like a 10 page or 10 panel page of Joe pressing the button over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, if that was your favorite part of Gotchaman, then yes, that's happening, just not on the page.
I find it doubtful, but anyway, yeah,
but so I just wanted, you know, I avoid some of that stuff, you know, some of the stuff that was very indicative of, you know, science fiction in, you know, in that time. But I do go into, you know, I do try to make it feel like the animated series.
Yeah. 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 And I guess is part of that, that's one of the things that came up for me when I was watching the show. You mentioned the sort of environmental message, the energy stuff, and like, it's a very sort of, for lack of a better term, kind of like progressive message, which is like, we got to take care of the planet, you know, these alien, and that's part of the villain's plot, right? Like Galactors, they're here to take our resources, which is, you know, a very easy thing to understand. Now, with everything that we're kind of dealing with in, you know, the current, you know, climate of the world, climate change, whatever you want to call it, how heavily are you kind of like leaning into that? Is it the sort of thing that is going to take center stage? Is it like background material? Like how much are, you know, Gotchaman, you know, sort of, I mean, obviously you don't want to make it Captain Planet, right? But.
Right. Yeah. It's there and it's in the background of the story, but you know, I tried to, the primary goal for me was to, you know, tell these entertaining stories within that world. So, but it's baked into the DNA of Gotchaman to have those elements.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I'm not, you know, getting preachy about it in this comic. I mean, it may be at times, but it's not going to be like a very special issue of Gotchaman where we talk about 22 pages of, you know, environmental concerns. I mean, look, it's a serious issue, but I don't think the way to handle it in this comic is to make that like the, you know, the primary focus.
Yeah.
Just like in the TV series, it's sort of, you know, it's a driving force, it's a background element, but it's not going to be something that like, we're going to stop the issue and have the characters talk to the readers, you know, about it.
Yeah. 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 Of course. Of course. Of course. I mean, do you think, at least in this sort of future world, you know, like we said, like everything that comes around goes around, you know, they're wearing bell bottoms again and things like that. But do you in your or in this Gotchaman series, I'm trying to remember, because it was a concern, right? But is this future a little worse off than we are now, or is everything kind of stable? I'm trying to kind of remember, because go ahead.
Yeah. It's kind of a bright and shiny world.
Yeah.
Right? It seems like it's kind of a very pleasant world, except that these giant mecha robots are coming in and attacking things all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you know, I tried to, you know, it's the science ninja team, right? And Galactor is this sort of scientifically focused terrorist. I kind of wanted to lean into this theme of fringe science really spreading over the world. It's, you know, it's the International Science Consortium or whatever, like is such a big player in the world of Gotchaman.
Yeah.
So I really wanted science and fringe science and sort of super science to take center stage.
Gotcha. Can you explain like that term, like fringe science? Like
So there's, this is like the scientific world of Gotchaman is sort of this bleeding edge science. It's just a little bit beyond what we really have in our world right now.
Yeah.
So, and we have some pretty insane technological, you know, marvels in the world, but this is a little beyond that.
So it's sort of the stuff that's burgeoning, that's coming up. That's the science in Gatchaman. Some of it is, I wanted to feel like it could happen, you know, tomorrow, you know, that kind of thing. But then again, we also have, you know, propeller planes that can turn into super jets and, you know
yeah.
Costumes that can generate out of, you know, the characters who can transform into their costume fighting gear instantly and things like that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, when you're talking about the world of Gatchaman and those original episodes, though, I mean, we have things now that they may not have even imagined. Like, we have the internet, like, right? Like, so you have to kind of work that in, right? But they also had advanced communications where they were talking to each other on screens, which we didn't have in 72 and we have now. What's the balance right. between what's been established in the series and what exists now and what you kind of want to make up for the comic series?
Well, we're definitely pushing it a little further. So there's a little more technology. There's technology that you wouldn't have seen in the series, but at the same time, like, just as I said, with the, you know, pushing the bird missile over and over again, does the internet exist in this world? Maybe, but I don't want to write a comic about people posting on Twitter, you know, Gatchaman posting Twitter updates or whatever. Yeah. It's to me, that's unimportant to the story. But you can just assume, yeah, the internet exists. They just never used it in the animated series. Or we never saw them use it. We never needed to, or whatever.
Gotcha.
And you know, there's little things like that. I think they use wired telephones in the TV series and things like that that are not, you know, in vogue anymore.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of a, I have to remind myself that the story I'm telling takes place within this world. That doesn't mean I have to change. I don't have to show everything that they showed in the original series.
Sure, sure. Yeah, well, like a detail nerd like me might be like, maybe there was an environmental cataclysm that screwed up all the cell phones and they had to like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to get my no prize from you is what I'm saying. Like, maybe there's,
I think that sounds like, if that's what sounds right to you, that sounds right to me.
That's great. So when you've got a property like this that is extremely, you know, beloved amongst fans, and maybe in the US by a different name that may not be known, what sort of like guidelines are you having to work with the original sort of like rights holder? Like what have they given you things that you can and cannot do? Or are those things that you and the other people, you know, writing the miniseries, like the individual miniseries for the characters, are those miniseries or ongoing series, the individual books?
So there's, beyond the main Gatchaman series, there are one-shots and limited series.
Gotcha.
That they'll be doing, and there's gonna be several of them. There are things that we've submitted, you know, like in the pitches that I've turned in, and they said no, we don't want to, you know, we can't do that because it doesn't fit into the world of Gatchaman, or in episode 101 this happened, which means we can't do that, you know, things like that. And there are, you know, one of the things that's been tough to make sure I'm doing right is, so I have mechas that show up in my, you know, in my comic.
Yeah.
But they can't be the same mechas that they don't want them to be the same style of mechas that showed up in the cartoon.
Oh.
So I have to keep track of all these different mechas. You know, there were so many, there was one per episode, right?
Yeah.
So now, you know, I have to make sure I'm not suggesting a mecha that appeared in, you know, episode 82 or something. So that, you know, the license holder keeps us, you know, on target with that. But they've been very, very open with all the new elements we're trying to introduce.
Yeah. So does that means that something that they, are they just trying to be protective of episodes in the past where it's like this mecha was destroyed, it can't show up again? Is that what we're basically talking about?
Some of that. You know, I imagine that if I were to ask them, hey, let's see if they can rebuild the Turtle King or whatever.
Yeah.
I think we could probably do it, but I think they just want it to be fresh. I don't think they want to retread the mechas that appeared in the show. They want the content here to be a little more fresh.
Gotcha. And that rights holder is Tatsunoko Production, correct?
Tatsunoko. Yep. Yeah. That's them.
Yeah. And it says in the PR piece that they're established in 1960. So they're the original rights holder to this, right?
Yeah. They've been with it since since the beginning.
That's amazing.
They're protective of the property and making sure we're not going to do anything that, you know, flies in the face of what has come before. But they've been very, like I said, they're very open to us doing some new things. And we're definitely introducing a lot of new characters, a lot of new ideas that I feel sort of illuminate some of the things that happen in the animated series. And you can, maybe there are relationships or connections in the comics that you'll see that may make people who have watched the series think about some of the episodes differently.
Does the little boy come back with the dad and the pilot? It's a really sad episode.
He is not planned for my arc. Yeah. But I can't say that he might. I mean, who knows? He might be playing for some of the other stuff. I haven't heard anyone want to bring him back yet.
Oh, that's too bad, because I was watching that episode a couple of weeks ago again to get prepared for this, and I was like, man, that was a sad episode. was really sad. I want that kid to come back and be like, you know, the new generation of Gotchman, or something. I want my revenge for my father. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, but when you're creating something new, how much leeway do you have? I mean, it sounds like they trust you. Obviously, I mean, you've got your bona fides. You've been working in the industry for a long time. You've had lots of successes. I mean, you're a respected writer. I'm a big fan of your stuff. I don't know how much that means to anyone out there, but I am. How crazy can you get? Watching the show, you know, for me, I was, you know, it is very much, there is an age range, right? Like issue two, but there is some wild stuff in there where I was like, oh, that's kind of crazy. How much of your brain mindset can you stretch out of or, you know, expand upon the property before the rights holder is like, no, sir. You cannot do that.
There are things they're not going to let us do. Like, I couldn't kill one of the five Gotchamen, you know, or kill a character who is alive at the end of the series or anything like that.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
So there's some, you know, there's some things like that that they want to make sure we're not doing. Some of the notes seem a little minor, I guess. One of the things that we were told right away, and this was a big difference for me having originally watched Battle of the Planets, is the characters don't go into space in Gotchaman. They're not space adventurers. And Battle of the Planets, they were always going into space.
Yeah.
In Gotchaman, they don't travel in space. You know, they stay on Earth.
They stay on Earth. Yeah. Oh,
but so that was it's things like that. Like, this is, you know, these are the rules of the Gotchaman universe.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm introducing a lot of new characters who are going to play a big role in the series. In some of the one shots and the limited series that are coming out, we are introducing, you know, concepts about the inner workings of Galactor and how that organization is run. There's a lot of that stuff. There's a lot of crazy background information that we're going to be introducing about some of the characters. So if it's something, you know, there's a character who's, you know, in the series but has never had a backstory explored, we can do that.
Yeah.
And you know, we are going to do it. And as long as, like I said, the big thing is they don't want us to change. We can't. It's in continuity, and it's 105 episodes, not 150. And 105 episodes exist that, you know, establish that framework. So those are the things we just have to be careful of. And the license holder is definitely there to help us make sure we don't, you know, mess that up.
Sure, sure. I mean, one of the things going back through the series and doing a little research, like the sort of like main villain, it's like Berg, what's the name? I'm blanking out. It's
Bergkatze.
The Bergkatze. Yeah. And with the giant horns and the nose thing, like a really great villain. But my recollection of the character, as the series goes on and kind of like other adaptations, is that it was kind of a, what would the proper term be, like an androgynous character, like not necessarily male, not necessarily female. Is that correct? Or am I misremembering things?
No, you're remembering correctly. And they kind of did that in Battle of the Planets, but there's a lot more to it in Gatchaman.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And that's something we explore, especially Steve Orlando's writing the Galactor miniseries.
Oh, nice.
Which really focuses on that character, and we really dig into a lot of that stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Especially kind of like through the current modern lens. I mean,
correct.
Yeah. I mean, how much were you involved in any of those discussions? Like, how did that, because I mean, to me, it's, again, I haven't revisited all the episodes, but, you know, I remember, you know, even like 10, 15 years ago, like rediscovering them and being like, oh, that was a thing. And now in the current climate, like it's, you know, this sort of thing is, you know, they, them pronouns and all that stuff has come forward, and you have sort of, you know, the villain character. How do you guys, did you deal with that sort of thing?
Well, we definitely had a number of like Zoom meetings where we all got together and said, here are the kinds of stories we'd like to tell.
Sure.
And you know, we get, you know, excited about everybody else's story. And yeah, I think Steve is approaching some things in this the Galactor series in a really interesting way, but also a really fun way.
Yeah.
And yeah, being able to explore that character in a way that was never done in the 70s, on the TV show.
Sure. And so like, as far as exploring all the characters, what are some of the things that you found, like, do you have one of the, a favorite out of all of them that you like writing, or what are some of the things that you discovered sort of like in your research in the series where it's like, oh, I would really like to do that, or I would really like to expand upon that, or, are there things that you can do in comics that they couldn't necessarily do in an animated show that, you know, was like maybe 25, 28 minutes or something like that, maybe less, maybe more. I never clock them while I'm watching them. I enjoy them too much. But what was there any particular character that stood out to you that you were like, oh, I would love to, you know, kind of do this with them? Or
yeah, there are a lot of characters that like that. And, you know, as a kid, I was always a fan of the Eagle. Ken.
Sure.
He was called Mark in Battle of the Planets, but
yeah.
Ken the Eagle is still sort of, you know, he's the leader of the team, and he gets a lot of screen time. But I really like June the Swan quite a bit, and there, you know, so
I was going to ask about her. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are issues that really focus on her. It's in the show, they don't break up a lot. They don't like go off on their separate paths. But in the comic, we've got a little more room. We can send them on little solo missions. We can get into their heads a little more than you could in the show. And we kind of, you know, we run with as much of that as we can.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, it sounds like to me, June would probably, especially again, you know, however many years later, would be a character that could stand to grow. Like, let's just say a bit.
Well, yeah, I think all of them can really, you know, that's one of the nice things about being able to do it in the comic, to do these comics, and then to also have specific issues and one shots that'll focus on these characters too.
Mm.
You can really do sort of a much, you know, deeper dive on some of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me because even for an animated show at that time, like 72, 73, some of the stuff was kind of complex, right? I mean, for an animated show, right?
Yeah, it was a little ahead of its time, I think, on a lot of those elements.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people look at it and go like, oh, the visual style and, you know, the ships and the technology and the, you know, the fighting and all that stuff. But I know that when I'd watched it a while ago, I was like, hey, wait, this is kind of a bit deeper than, you know, Scooby-Doo or anything like that, that we were exposed to.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, there were, you know, elements of loss and of, you know, of the leader of the team, for instance, Ken, his father is, he doesn't know who his father is. He's not found him. He wants to reconnect or find out what happened to him.
Yeah.
And there's sort of a big soap opera element in the show, you know, following that storyline.
Yeah.
And the same with Joe, the Condor, there are sort of these, you know, these soap opera elements with their past and their history that that the show was doing that kind of made it more than just a, you know, mecha of the week kind of.
Yeah. Was there anything when you went back to rewatch the show? Now, did you watch it dubbed or did you watch it subtitled? I guess I have to ask for the true anime fans out there. Like, how did you rewatch it in the original Japanese?
You know, I was watching them, the set I have, I was watching them. It was mainly dubbed.
Gotcha.
But occasionally episodes would just come through if I just let it play through and suddenly they're playing. I'm sorry. It was mainly subtitled, not dubbed.
Gotcha.
Mainly
gotcha.
Subtitled. But then occasionally episodes would come through that are just dubbed. And so suddenly I'm listening to them, you know, now they're speaking English.
Sure. Was there, so I guess while you were watching, was there anything that stood out to you that where you were like, oh, wow, like anything that surprised you that you didn't expect to come across or anything that you were just like, oh, this is like crazy or like, how do I deal with this? Anything that, you know, that you, I guess you had never seen all the episodes before. Was there anything that impressed you? I mean, there must have been, but.
Well, you know, you mentioned a sad, you know, the sad episode with the little boy whose dad.
Yeah.
Is.
It's so sad.
There were a lot of sad episodes in the mix. Galactor, the cruelty of Galactor at times was pretty shocking. They're a very cruel organization because I think it's that episode with the kid whose father's missing that Berg Katz dresses up as his dad.
Oh yeah.
Or comes and visits him and I mean, it's really it gets to be some. You know, there are some dark moments that we didn't get when, you know, in the show when I was a, you know, there's an episode where they go to rescue some test pilots or something that have been kidnapped.
Oh.
And Galactor, they've already killed them. They're just standing them up to lure Gotcha Man in. But they're like, ah, you've come in to rescue some corpses. And then, you know, so the cruelty of Galactor, I mean, it's an evil organization. And that's. I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah. One of the things in particular watching those early episodes, like the explosions and stuff and just the destruction. And I'm like, oh, wow, they didn't hold anything back. And you see like, oh, people screaming and all this stuff. And I was just wow, this is like on a wide scale.
Yeah. These mechas show up in the middle of these cities and people are going to, I mean, you know, you're seeing these people get blasted. I thought it was, you know, it's interesting. Those poor Galactor henchmen were always getting blown to shreds and you know, just torn to pieces constantly. It was that I don't know that we got that when we were watching it as in on Battle of the Planets.
No, it's so funny that you mentioned that because as I was rewatching those episodes, there was like a thing that went through my brain. It's like, how do you get recruited for Galactor? Like, how do you sign up?
We're gonna show you because
that's awesome.
Some of the miniseries and one-shots are going to explore Galactor's recruitment processes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because I mean, that was one of the things where I was like, I have to wear this goofy outfit. Like, and like, what am I like, how, like, are they hired? Do you pay them? Are they just radicals? Like, how did the, you know, obviously my modern brain is working, especially, you know, in the world that we're living in now. I was like, were they, what area of the world are they from? Like, are they alien? Like, so yeah, there was a lot of thoughts going through my head. So you're going to address that stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna be that's the kind of stuff that we can explore a little bit more in the comics that wasn't explored in the, you know, in the show.
That's so great. That's so great. So I mean, you've worked on a lot of properties. I'm assuming that, you know, when you were growing up that you were a big fan of and stuff like this. And I'm assuming that for you, like, this is like one of your, you know, Was it a dream job? Did you ever imagine that you would come across it? Like what, like, are you having to pinch yourself and be like, I'm actually writing Gotcha Man, and not even Battle of the Planets, but actually like Gotcha Man?
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, I write comics for a living. So yes, I'm always kind of pinching myself and sure. saying, I'm, you know, how lucky am I that this is how, you know, I get to make a living is telling yeah. stories, and it's, you know, it's across the board. You know, I love Gotcha Man. So writing a Gotcha Man series, you know, was something I thought, I don't know that it was like on my bucket list of ideas. I just didn't think it was something that would happen.
Yeah.
So it just never really, you know, entered my mind until I got that email. Nice. But you know, I consider myself very lucky that, you know, telling this kind of story and telling stories in general, whether it's creator owned, licensed, whatever, it's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome way to live.
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, that's great. That's great. One of the questions that I wanted to ask, and I don't know if you were involved in any discussions like this, was there any reticence, like, as far as, you know, using the title Gotcha Man as opposed to Battle of the Planets? Is it a rights thing? Like, does somebody else own the rights to the title Battle of the Planets? Or was it like, no, we want to go with the purity of the original title, and by now everybody might already know what Gotcha Man is? Any thoughts on that? Or were you involved in any discussions on that?
I mean, I wasn't involved in the discussions, but there was never a time where we went back and where anyone went back and forth and said, maybe this should be called G-Force or Battle of the Planets.
Got it.
It was always Gotcha Man. Yeah, there are some weird rights things with Battle of the Planets. It's, you know, it's its own thing now.
Yeah.
But Tatsunaku never had, you know, it was always going to be Gotcha Man.
Gotcha.
Or nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep saying gotcha, and I hope that people aren't thinking like, oh, it's like me. No, that's what I say. I got you. Gotcha. So this is going to be ongoing. So you're in it for the long haul.
I have 2 years worth of story planned at this point.
Wow. Yeah. That's yeah. amazing. I think especially since there's like so many hundreds of episodes. I mean, were there any conversations as to, obviously you don't want to change the costumes or anything, but I guess that in my brain, what I was thinking about before is like, you've got superheroes and you've kind of got like action heroes, right? And Gotcha Man kind of falls somewhere in between there, right? It's not necessarily like a superhero show, but it is an action like fighting show, but they wear costumes. Like, how did everyone working on their own series and you working on this, like, look at what Gotcha Man is kind of like from a holistic level?
Well, I mean, we never sat down and said, hey, let's see if we can update them or give them armor or, you know, put them in leather or sure. whatever. You know, this was, you know, like I said, with the series, we want it to feel like Gotcha Man. We yeah. want it to feel like that world. And yeah, this just happens to be a world where this elite ninja, you know, science ninja team dresses up as birds. And okay, that's all right.
You
know?
Yeah.
You know, we can go with that.
Well, yeah. If Superman can wear his overpants on the outside, then people can dress right. up as birds, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, this is great. I mean, I'm like very excited for this. And then when I found out that you were writing it, I was like, right on, because I know that I got an email like a year ago, and they're like, Mad Cave is coming. And I was like, okay, I will talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime about Gotcha Man. Like, I would love to, you know, have anybody. And then when it was like you, I was like, I need to talk to him about this, because, and you were very kind, you know, with your time on the last episode. So thank you so much for your time. I mean, I really appreciate you taking, you know, this bit of time, to talk about the new Gotcha Man with me, because I'm a huge fan. I lost those action figures and now they're going on eBay for like hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, what a bummer. Well, but, yeah, well, thank you so much.
I appreciate you having me. And really, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't point out, so you and I are familiar with Gotcha Man and are big fans, but this series is written in a way that if you've never picked up a Gotcha Man, if you've never watched a single episode or even heard of Gotcha Man before, you'll be able to pick this series up and I tell you everything you need to know about them. I mean, you are great. Set up, you know, who the characters are, you know, what they stand for, you know, what they're up to. And I really tried to write it in a way that if someone's not familiar with Gotcha Man, they can still enjoy the hell out of this book.
That's awesome. And do you get into sort of like the origins of it, like the bird out, like why they picked the bird costumes and stuff? Or was that something that was addressed in the series, like later episodes?
As far as I know, it was never really addressed in the series. And we may get into that kind of stuff. The first arc or so of mine is pretty much a you know, it introduces one big element. There's something really big that will change, you know, the course of the series. But yeah, you know, maybe the origins of the bird costumes is on the horizon too.
As far as you know, does that exist? Like, has anybody ever discussed it? Or, I mean, even within the company, been like, what?
I don't know if it exists. I don't know if there is an official discussion of why birds.
I gotta look into that, because I'm like, who was the original character designer? Like, why did they decide the bird theme? I mean, was it just cool, or like, you know, that's fascinating to me.
They look cool. It's the rule of cool.
That's the rule of cool. Okay, and one last question, I guess, before we go. As far as like, you're writing the Gotcha Man series, so I mean, are you like the primary storyteller, and then everyone like runs ideas through, you know, for the miniseries through you? Are you like serving as editor or like story editor on any of the other projects? Or
no, we have an editor that kind of makes sure everything's working, you know, working together, and that we're not tripping each other up. So there's an editor at Mad Cave who kind of runs that part of it.
Okay.
We put the outline for my series, we put together first, and then so that the other series would play within that, you know, within that framework. But it was never a moment where anyone has to run anything by me. There's, you know, and what's really neat is all the books have very different sort of vibes. They're very different approaches to the storytelling, different kinds of, you know, different kinds of storytelling. And I think that's going to give it a real, you know, a real interesting feel for someone who's reading all the books.
That's great. That's great. Well, I'm excited for it. I mean, it looks really, really cool. I mean, I've, like I said, always been a huge fan of Gotcha Man. I know that they did like a free comic book day thing, but it sounds like this series is going to be released end of June, maybe June 26. I'm not sure is the exact date. Yeah. But
yes, so we did do a Gotcha Man Zero issue for Free Comic Book Day, and it does have new stories in it.
Yeah.
And these are not stories that'll be reprint. They're not, I mean, they'll be collected eventually, sure, but they're not like the stories in the Zero issue weren't like excerpts from other books.
Got it.
If you could track that down, if you didn't get it, you can track that down and read it, enjoy it, but you don't have to read that to jump right into Gotcha Man number one.
Oh, my daughter had a swim meet on Free Comic Book Day. Oh. So I wasn't able to get to the I'm going to have to see if my local comic shop has it. But, well, again, you know, congratulations on this. And thank you so much for your time. Cullen Bunn. I mean, I'm a huge fan. Gotcha Man. I'm a huge
thank
fan.
You so, much.
You know, two great tastes that go great together. I mean, looking forward to it. Can you tell people where they can find you online? Like specifically, Like, you know, you have a website, you know, are you on the social media stuff? Like, where can people locate you and your work?
Yeah, so I'm on most of the social medias is at Cullen Bunn, but the best, and I have a newsletter, I have a Patreon. The best place to track down all of that, if you go to my website, which is CullenBunn.com, you can get to almost everything else.
Nice.
And you know, subscribe to the newsletter or check out the Patreon. There's you know, that's that website will get you to everything.
Thank you so much. I mean, again, I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man. I know you've got lots of things to do, lots of things to write. I don't want to keep you from writing. And thank you for being on this, the 500th episode of Part-Time Fanboy.
I don't know that I even realized coming in that this was such a big milestone.
Oh, no. I was like, so that was like one of the things. It's like, because of the nature of it being part-time, I'm not like usually hunting down guests for those milestone episodes. But when this came across, I was like, this can be the 500th episode. All right.
That's a big deal. In 500 episodes.
Yeah. 500 episodes. So thank you so much. I mean, and I'm super privileged to have you, you know, on for that milestone. So you could tell like how excited I am about this project, how excited I am about you being on this project. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Cool.
Again, this has been the 500th episode of Part-Time Fanboy. My name is Christian Horn. You can check us out at parttimefanboy.com. My email is ptf@parttimefanboy.com. Still on Facebook, still on Instagram. I have abandoned the hellscape that is Twix. Please check out Gotcha Man when it comes out at the end of June. I'm telling you, if you're a fan of what was Battle of the Planets, Gotcha Man, anime, manga, you will love this stuff, or just Cullen Bunn's work. You're going to love it. So thank you so much, Mr. Bunn. Thank you so much for listening. And we will be back soon for episode 501. Oh my God. Can't believe we made it this far. Bye. Part-time fanboy.